All right. Good morning. Thank you, Caitlin, for that beautiful song titled Set Free. So good morning to those in person and those who are online. I know many are probably sick, so I pray that you get better for those who are home and that your internet stays working. Sometimes when I'm home, when I'm sick, I'm always praying, internet, don't go out because I don't want to miss the message of this song. You know, I was reflecting on Caitlin's song, the Set Free, the lyrics of the song. And they serve as a powerful reminder of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. For the Christian, take a moment to think about your life before Christ and what you have now. You have much to rejoice in. For those who do not know him, and I don't know who's here that's not saved or those online are listening, but for those who do not know him, the words were a beacon of light, showing what the Lord desires to do in a person's life that's unsaved. We should always pray for those in our lives who don't know Jesus Christ. They would consider where they stand with him and their hearts would be open to accept him as their Lord and Savior one day. Listen to some of the lyrics from the song Caitlin sang today. These are very powerful words. Again, I want you to think about your life before Christ. That is a big theme of today's message. Listen to the words. No longer bound by chains. They all have been broken. Sin no longer has hold. Shame has no power over you. No longer blind spiritually. No longer dirty spiritually. You now see, have found mercy, are forgiven, washed clean, are now saved and redeemed. You have been set free. Amen? The word set free happens to be the title of my message today. And before we continue with the rest of this message, if we can just bow our heads and ask for the Lord's help. Lord Jesus, we are always so grateful as a body of Christ to gather on a Sunday, Lord. Lord, your enemy and our enemy does not want us to meet. He does not want your word to be preached. He wants people at home's internet to not work so they cannot hear your word. But Lord, you're in control. And Lord, I ask today for your help to give this message that you put on my heart. You're the one who gives the ideas, the thoughts. You write it. The speaker is just an empty vessel that is just used for your glory. So we ask that you would use this word to touch our hearts, to encourage us this morning. And for those in our lives who do not know him, maybe use this message to maybe witness to them. If there's anybody in our midst today or listening online has yet given their lives to you, Lord, we pray that their hearts would be open to your wonderful gift of salvation and they would accept you as their Lord and Savior today. We just pray all these things and praise you. In your most precious name we pray, amen. It's Sunday, December 7th, and 18 days Santa Claus is coming. I know some of you still believe in him. I remember as a kid, the biggest debates were, how does he get down the chimney? And how does he get around the world in one day? And now that I'm a light sleeper, there's no way he can land on my roof with his reindeers without me waking up. Now, I admit I don't believe in the man in the red suit anymore, but I do love Christmas season, and I know many of you do. Some of you have probably had your decorations up for months. Some of you probably never took them down. Some of you have been buying gifts every time you see a sale. There's always a sale now. Black Friday is pretty much every day now, it seems like, right? Christmas is a special time. I love decorating the house inside and out. I love Christmas lights. There's something pleasing to the eye about Christmas lights. They bring you joy. I love listening to Christmas music to get in the mood, and I tend to sing along, but I don't know all the words. So to embarrass my family, I sometimes make up my own lyrics. They always sound good to me. Buying gifts for loved ones is always special, and getting gifts, too, is nice. In our Puzon, Punzo, and Kathy Hyde household, the adults always do a gift exchange. You pick a name out of a hat, and that's your person you get for this year. And this year, I got my dear sister-in-law, Jamie, who's home. And Jamie's been good this year, so Jamie, you got some gifts coming to you. I'm thankful for spending time with the family, watching a movie, or enjoying a good meal. Kaylin always makes a great variety of cookies at this time. And I know it's the season of giving, but I always get a little irritated when I see a batch of cookies leave the house to go to somebody else. She always tells me, don't worry, there's enough cookies for you. But all of this, the lights, the music, the gifts, the traditions, would mean nothing without Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. When I think about my family, I thank Him for giving it to me. When I think about getting gifts, our minds always go to the greatest gift of His birth. Being born in a manger, His ministry on this earth, going to the cross, and His wonderful gift of salvation. The carols that we sing point to Him. And when I think about Christmas lights, I think the light of my Savior shining into our darkness, making Himself known to each of us in a personal way. And I know every year we face trials. We talk about that all the time. The list goes on, right? Financial pressures, work stresses, health concerns, losses, family situations, personal struggles and anxiety. And I can go on and on. We can list them. And at San Ramon Valley Bible Church, we never discount what somebody has gone through in their life. Nor we discount what people are going through now. Because we understand, we can relate. God wants to be compassionate, supportive believers. But think of all the difficulties that we have in life. May I encourage you this morning and pause to remember that you have been set free. If you are a Christian, you are no longer bound by darkness. Did not Jesus shine in your darkness and bring you to His light when you called out to Him? I remember my life before Christ. I will never forget my life before Christ. This describes my life, these words, and I know many of you will relate to these words, but this is me, and it's the honest truth. I was hurt, disappointed, bitter, angry, helpless, and lost. I was living in darkness. Satan had his clutches on me. But when Jesus saved me, everything changed. I stepped into His wonderful light. If you're not a Christian, Jesus wants to tell you, He wants to set you free from darkness. You see, before Christ, we had a need, something to be rescued from. We were all living in spiritual darkness here. We can all raise our hand and remember our lives. I was listening to Christian radio the other day, and a guy got on the radio, and the radio DJ asked the gentleman, what do you want to say? And you know what he said? He goes, I was heavily into witchcraft and demonic stuff. That's dark. He goes, but then I got saved, and Jesus set me free. And she goes, how are you doing now? He goes, it's like night and day. Powerful stories. We each have a powerful story because we're all living in darkness. Scripture describes our state as being lost, dead in sin, hostile toward God, unable to please Him, His enemy, living a life headed on a road that leads to hell, an eternal separation from Him. But something changed, didn't it? We realized our condition, discovered that Jesus loves us no matter what, and only He could save us. We confessed our sins, and boy, it was ugly, right? And asked Him to be our Lord and our Savior, and He saved us through His work on the cross. Now we're no longer in darkness. We've been transformed. You are now found, alive in Christ, peace with God, pleasing to Him, adopted as His child. Our destination changed from the road to hell to the road to heaven. There's a big difference on those roads where we will spend all eternity with Him. I have three portions of Scripture that I want to share today that are one of my favorites around this subject. And then I want to talk about one of the hymns that we have sang. It's probably one of our most frequent hymns we have sang on Sunday morning during the breaking of bread. But my first verse is this. It's in Colossians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. Powerful verses. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Verse 13. It reminds us God has rescued and redeemed believers. We were under the domain of darkness, under the power and authority of it. And Paul is referring to Christians rescued from the power of sin and death. We know darkness is contrasted to light. They have nothing in common. Good and evil are our opposite. We have Jesus who's the good and Satan who's the evil. Hell and heaven are opposites. Heaven is where the Lord wants us to go, but hell is where Satan wants to take people. Satan is darkness at the fullest of the definition, and Jesus is the true light. God has transformed us from sinners, bound by sin, into a new creation meant for heaven. You know, the moment before you got saved, I think we all felt worthless, right? How can Jesus love me? I deserve nothing from him. But when he saved you, you're a new creation. You're headed to heaven. I love this quote. Christian believers are not merely protected from the penalty of sin. We are radically removed from it. Verse 14. Another reminder what Jesus has done. He has provided redemption. And we know the Bible very well. Redemption is a theme, big theme of the Bible, from the Passover of the Lamb in the book of Exodus to the redemption of Christ on the cross through his sacrifice. Isn't it beautiful to know that your sins are forgiven as far as the east is the west? Sin causes damage, doesn't it? But what does Jesus do? He forgives you and then he heals you. He heals you to be able to live your life. Regardless if it was sin that done to you or sin that you did, Jesus heals you. And we're able to live a life living for him. We can praise him for that this morning. We know the forgiveness of sin is at the heart of the gospel. Amen. Second portion of scripture, another great portion of scripture, very popular, is Romans 6, 22 to 23. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and in its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've always loved this verse, these verses. It reminds us that we have been set free. Another one you can pull out of your back pocket to share with people. You know, the sin of shame, of sin, leads to death. And isn't it beautiful to think about that you've left that life behind? That life is behind us, always will be behind us with Christ. And think about it. What have we gained? Well, we've gained a relationship with him that we should be grateful for. Jesus is always with us, isn't he? Every day, always watching over us. Our identity is now with him. We are now bound to do right. Because the fruit, the natural consequences of serving righteousness is sanctification and eternal life. Was the exact opposite of where our life was headed. Amen. Verse 23. In this portion of Scripture, if you read the whole portion of Scripture, Paul sums up this letter and the entire gospel with this famous verse. He compares two types of lives that he'd been describing in this section of Scripture. Those without Christ are slaves to sin. Because of their work, they earned eternal death, eternal separation from God. That is our life before Christ. All of us here have earned it. Sometimes people think, oh, you Christians think you're perfect, right? Or people say those kind of statements all the time. But when you read a verse like this, you remember who you were. Ah, but there's another way. When we realize that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, we realize that human beings cannot earn salvation. There is no good works you can do. There is no amount of giving to a church or going to a church that grants you eternal life. A lot of people believe that false lie. But as Christians, God opened our eyes to that truth. When we gave our lives to Christ, he gives us credit for Christ's work on the cross and accepts our payment, our penalty, and the result is eternal life. And we get to share in his glory one day. Think about the path to hell. What does that lead to? Darkness and eternal pain forever. But the path to heaven leads to glory. Glory to be in the presence of God for all eternity. You have an inheritance. We will be so blessed in heaven. You know, I think about Christmas. We give Christmas gifts, right? And they're great Christmas gifts. But heaven, can you imagine how many more gifts will be in heaven? We know the Bible talks about crowns and things like that. We really have no clue. God has so many surprises in heaven. Praise God, we're on that road. And so when you read Romans 6, 22 and 23, you ask those in your life who are not Christians. You have a choice. What life do you want to live? One with Christ or one without Him? We have people in our lives who do not know Him. And may God give us the words to ask them that question. What life do you really want? One with Christ or one without Him? My last portion of Scripture today is Ephesians 5:8. It's a short sentence, but boy, I love this one. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." Another verse that reminds us of our darkness. See, the Bible, that's the beauty about the Bible. It doesn't just give you one verse and it's on its way. God throughout Scripture reminds us consistently. Paul was writing letters to different believers, reminding them we were in darkness. But as believers, what are we now? Children of the light. Because of our status, Paul commands us to walk as children of the light. We are no longer bound by darkness. And what does this mean? Well, we should live our lives dedicated to the Savior. We should not live like our lives before Christ. With Christ, He has given us victory to live a new life. Everybody here who is a Christian, as living for Jesus, is a victorious Christian. You really are. And as you go through things now, you walk out these doors and we have other trials and tribulations, Christ will give us victory. He's the ultimate winner. We should strive to be obedient, which is not easy sometimes. We should strive to imitate God. Don't you want people to see Jesus in you? Walk in His love. Serve with all your heart in whatever ministries He gives you. Put Him first in your lives. When I first became a Christian, people used to make fun of me to go into church all the time. Man, okay, Rick, I understand you go Sunday, but, you know, back then we had Monday and Wednesdays. But they'd say, you go Friday nights too? You got put Him first. I went to church all the time because the Lord saved my soul and I owe Him everything. He owes me nothing, but I owe Him everything. That's why I go to church all the time. Walk as children of the light. Put Jesus first. And so all the verses I shared this morning, you can comb through so many more in Scripture, but never forget the words, "You have been set free." I'm going to talk about a hymn today. I'm not going to sing it. Although, Jeff, you did a good job for Dean today. Maybe you should come and sing it. But I love the hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" We have sang that song so many times. If we took a top 10 list of hymns that we have seen during the breaking bread, this is definitely has to be top 5. It was written by Charles Wesley shortly after his conversion in 1738, long time ago. But the words still resonate with such power. And Charles Wesley was an English hymn writer, evangelist, co-founder of the Methodist movement. And he got credited for written over 6,500 hymns, which is amazing. And then speaking of Christmas, he wrote the famous one, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." But "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" I bet you many here probably know some of the lyrics by heart because you sang it so much. But I love this hymn. You know why? Because it is the summary of the Christian experience of salvation written in beautiful words. It's about the overwhelming joy and amazement at receiving salvation through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. We should never lose that overwhelming joy. We should never lose that amazement of Jesus Christ saving us. The song expresses God's love, the mystery of Jesus dying for a sinful people, and the personal experience of being liberated from sin's chains to having a new life and following Christ. And so we have sang this song a lot during Sunday, breaking of bread, and the fourth stanza has always touched me, and that's what's on the screen right now. If we can put it on the screen, please. There is actually, brothers, there's other in my notes. I want to put the fourth stanza on the screen. That starts with long my imprisoned spirit laid. I'll wait before it gets up on it. Perfect. Thank you so much. So I want to go to the fourth stanza because I don't want to do the whole song today. But the fourth stanza is our spiritual awakening. Think about your life before Christ. Let's look at the first two lines. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. These lyrics state that our spirit was trapped and in a helpless state of sin and spiritual darkness before Christianity. The words long my imprisoned spirit laid and fast bound in sin describe a feeling of being held captive. We were not free spiritually, but we were in a prison. We were in the powerful and inescapable grip of sin, which felt like physical and spiritual captivity. Didn't you feel like you were in prison before Christ? I did. At nature's night refers to the state of spiritual darkness, ignorance, or hopelessness that existed before finding faith in God. We were a hopeless people. Now we're people full of hope. And so I love those first two lines because you know what it does? It anticipates a spiritual awakening. Again, think about the moment you got saved and how you felt. I shared the words earlier. I felt lost, helpless, bitter, and angry. Oh, but what did Jesus do for Rick Punzo and did for you? The last four stanzas say, of the stanza says, thy eye diffuse a quickening ray. What does this mean? It signifies that Christ's loving and saving grace was directed at you. It evokes a sense of life-giving power. Has not Jesus given you life? Remember, when you got saved, no one else could save you. It was just you and him. I remember the moment I got saved at a Revelation seminar and I bowed my head. And he showed me, Rick, you're not saved. You're not living a Christian life. I remember it was just me and him. It was just his still voice saying, I want to save you today. I woke the dungeon flame with light. This is a metaphor for the moment of spiritual awakening. When we were still living in sin, the dungeon, remember the grasp of Satan who he has had you in his hands. The light of Christ, the love and truth dispels the darkness and flames it with holy life. My chains fell off and my heart was free. Chains represent the bondages of sin and its consequences. Wasn't your heart heavy of sin? Wasn't it? Wasn't your heart heavy with guilt? Your heart heavy with shame? My chains fell off and my heart was free. The falling off symbolizes the liberation and freedom that comes from the forgiveness and relationship with God. He forgave you and then your relationship with him began. I felt like I had a huge burden on my shoulders. They were taken off that day. I actually felt lighter. It was almost like a spiritual diet. Right? The weight of darkness and sin and evil was gone. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. This represents the new life of faith. The speaker no longer bound is able to actively rise up and commit to following Christ. I know we all rose and went forth and followed thee. I hope we still do it till the day God takes us home. We owe him everything. But I know if you read those lyrics, I know your name's in there. Your name is in there. And the hymn ends with the beautiful lyrics, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amen. I want to end my message today. You know, there are three dates that define a person's life. And we know we live our life by dates, anniversaries, birthdays, accomplishments, milestones. We have special dates that are special moments that we have, and then there are some difficult dates that we remember. But for every person, three dates define their life. And for the Christian and the non-Christian, two of the dates are the same. The first and third, but the middle date is different. Now follow with me for a second. You go to the cemetery, you look at a tombstone, what dates do you see on there? The birth and the passing of the person. So for the Christian and the non-Christian, the first day is the day you were born, the day that Jesus Christ gave you life, whether you're a Christian or not. For the non-Christian, God gave you life on this earth. That's the first date. And the third date is the date that you will pass. When your time on this earth is over, and God decides that date, and one day it will happen to all of us. But the second date is different between the Christian and the non-Christian. You see, the second date for the Christian is the day that you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. It's the day that you confessed your sins and pleaded for mercy and grace, and it was given to you. It was your spiritual awakening. We call it your spiritual birthday. And I know sometimes a lot of Christians rather celebrate their spiritual birthday than their birthday. It was the day that you were set free. But what's the middle date for the non-Christian? Actually, the middle date for the non-Christian could be many dates. You know what those dates are? There's all the dates you rejected the gospel when it was given to you. All the days you come to church and the preacher's preaching the gospel and asking, do you want to be saved today? And you reject it and say no. All the days a Christian witnesses you outside these doors and you reject it, not yet. All the days you heard the gospel on the radio or the TV and you say, you turn off, I don't want to listen to it. You know, for the non-believer, if you leave this world without Christ, let me tell you something. All those middle dates will haunt you for eternity. All those middle dates will haunt you for eternity if you leave this world without Jesus Christ. You have loved ones in your family that you love and want to be saved. That's the message that you got to give to them. May God use us to witness to people in our lives. January 16th, 1933, my dad was born. On November 22nd, 2025, he left this world and entered into eternity. For 92 years and 3 months of my dad's life, he had many, many middle dates. More than you could imagine. But on May 1st, 2025, he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he was set free. You know, once that happened, all those middle dates were erased from eternity. All your middle dates, because I know some of you have heard the gospel many times before you got saved, all those middle dates are erased for eternity, and they're replaced with one date, the date of your salvation. My prayer is that everybody here, everybody's listening that's online, has one middle date. One middle date. And if you have many dates, Jesus Christ, once again, in his mercy and grace, is saying to you today, I want to save you. Confess your sin. Ask me to be your Lord and Savior, and I will come into your heart, and eternity will be set. You'll be on the path to heaven. And so, dear Christian, may we be encouraged by today's message. When you walk out these doors today, you can say boldly, Lord, I was set free. When you go to bed at night and lay your head down on your pillow, may your last thought be, praise the Lord, I've been set free. And then when you work this week, we don't know what's going to happen this week, but whatever happens this week and you need some encouraging words, remember those words. You've been set free. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are such a grateful people. Lord, for all eternity, we will praise you for saving us. Lord, may we never forget where you have brought us each from, Lord. Satan had us in his hands. We were in darkness. Our sin destroyed us, broke us down, gave us miserable lives, Lord. But, oh, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for you, for how you use people, use the church, use Billy Graham if we watch TV or the Christian radio, whatever mechanism you use or vessel, you came to us and showed us your wonderful light. and you saved us, Lord Jesus, and we've been set free since that day, Lord. And for all eternity, we will worship and praise you for that. We pray that those words encourage us this week, Lord. And Lord, for those in our midst today in this room or those who are online, only you know if someone is not saved. But if they're not, Lord, we pray that you spoke to their heart, that they would ask you to be their Lord and their Savior. And Lord, for all the people in our lives, our loved ones who still did not know you, our neighbors, our co-workers, the people that we pray constantly for, Lord, use us, use anybody to share the gospel, to continue to share the gospel, so they would all come to know you, Lord. We want our loved ones, the people we care about, be freed from Satan's grasp, to be in your wonderful arms, Lord, so that they would know if they leave this world, they'd be in heaven for all eternity, Lord Jesus. And we know you're faithful. You will continue to work behind the scenes. In the meantime, Lord, as we walk out these doors, we pray that you protect us on the road, encourage us during the week, whatever we got going on. For those who are sick would feel better, especially our brother Dean. Dean, we pray for you that you get healed and we would see you again soon. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. In your most precious name we pray, amen.